But clear. Oh, okay. I was gonna say clear some space, but shit. If you got this space, just freaking press record. All right. Fuck
Why
it.
are we always matching?
It ain't matching. I got a logo. We were matching on the last one. Oh, I'm not even pointing at it. I'm the logo.
Just rubbing your nips for free.
Nah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Top Wanna Piece It Up. Top Wanna Piece It Up. We speak with us.
Hip-hop.
Hip hop is back and it's thriving, and people are getting mad. People are talking. It's episode 73. You know what it is, man. Oh, hello, Marcus and SFAM. We're here matching, but I have a logo on, and things are going on. And things are going on. A lot of things are going on, bruh. And the note that we have here is just stuffed with shit. And I'm glad that we got some newsworthy stuff to talk about. So, what's the deal, huh?
Yo, before we start, what episode is this?
This is
Episode what?
episode 73.
No, it's not. Is
Swear.
it?
Yeah.
I thought the last episode 74. Am I tripping? I must
Nah.
have, did I write the wrong description in the
Man, now you got me wanting to check if we're recording
YouTube
now.
video? Okay,
Well,
we're recording.
73 or
I don't know.
74,
It's
whichever
either,
one.
yeah,
It's
it's
in the
70
70s,
something.
bro. It's 70
70
something.
something. Yeah,
So
there we
what's the
go.
deal, huh? What we talking about?
Before we start, you know what I'm saying? Welcome to the Polytechnic Podcast. We have some extra content for those interested. If y'all messing with us, if y'all rocking with us, if y'all unaware, you know, we have an extra episode dropping every week, aside from like the weeks where I'm like gone and not
Yeah.
there. We have an episode dropping every week exclusively behind the Patreon paywall. You know what I'm saying? $5 a month gets you an extra episode every week, four extra episodes a month. You know what I'm saying? Go over there, support us, subscribe. Sign in. It's only $5. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a, I don't know what is $5 anymore?
Man, you
I was
know,
about
it
to say
doesn't
like a
buy much.
Starbucks. I was about to say a Starbucks drink, but Starbucks starts at like $7 now. Like,
Yeah, bro. There's
what is?
not much that $5 can get now.
Yeah. So you
But
know,
with that $5, you can get this. You know what I'm saying? You can get some
hey,
extra. You know what I
we're worth
mean?
less than a Starbucks drink.
You know what I'm saying? Hey. I'm
Yeah, so
saying.
we got the Patreon. Also, if you follow us on YouTube or the audio platforms that you listen to this on, you're also aware that the Pacifica Movie Starter Kit is still going, and the Way Back Wednesday podcast is hopefully coming back soon. Shout out to Lance Palitogo of the Polynesian podcast for stepping, or not stepping in, but he's part of the team as well, the Polytechnic Network.
You know what I'm
You know what I'm
saying?
saying? Lance, I'm gonna hit you. Lance, I'm gonna hit you. I ain't hit Lance since I've been back.
God damn,
Well,
dude.
I got sick. I was sick, and
All
then you know,
right.
so it was just. It was a lot going on. I'm so behind at work. But yeah, anyways, I keep getting off of tangents.
Lance, he'll get back to you.
you
All right. He's kind of busy.
know,
Come on.
and also for any businesses out there, anybody out there who needs a little shine, you know what I'm saying, hit us up, send us a message, send us a DM if you want to work with us, collaborate, you know. We could plug your business and or products, you know. Whatever you got, we, you know, anybody.
God bless it, bro. What kind of appeal is this, bro? Look, if you want these two to be the face of your product, please let us know, okay? I don't know if this is a good appeal for that. You know what I'm saying? But hey, we make it work and we work
what
pretty
I'm
hard at
saying?
this, okay?
Yes. My bad. I'm just
You're
messing up
good,
right
bro.
now.
I know. It's okay, bro. It's okay. Look, man, if y'all please let us know, man. All right?
I usually got the intros down, but like, you know, today was a hectic morning. I had to go to the store, came back. I'm like, I just got out the shower. I just ran and pressed record. You know what I'm saying? It's just
How
everything.
crazy is it that like when our routines change up just a little bit, it could just mess up the entire flow of the day, bro.
Yo, if I
I'm
don't take
saying.
if I don't take my morning dump, bro, everything is thrown off. I'll be at work.
Everything hinges on his morning dump. Okay? Everything hinges on that. Come on.
I be at work, and if I burp too hard, I'm like, oh damn, I gotta I
What?
Damn, I forgot to you. Damn, I didn't allocate enough time.
Didn't allocate enough time. Oh, I didn't allow myself the proper allotment. Oh, damn it. Oh shit, I didn't
Anyways.
allocate enough time, bro. It's crazy.
Damn it, I
Okay.
didn't allocate enough toilet time today.
Oh shoot.
So anyways, yeah, episode possibly 73, whatever. We back. Politicking podcast. You know what I'm saying? Hey. The Pod Boys is here. Without further ado, let's get to it. My brother, how have you been?
I've been good, man. You know what I'm saying? Same old stuff. Looking for you know, better jobs or whatever. But last week, did we record? Last Monday was an off day for us, right? You know, schedules are changing or whatever. So I had my interview last Monday for a job. Ooh. But this is my very first Zoom interview, right? Mm-hmm. I've always done in-person interviews. And yeah, like, yeah, I get short sleeve.
Yeah,
button up short sleeves. So I'm very used to that. I still get nervous at those, but I'm used to it. But this one, bro, I thought it would be cool to do a Zoom interview because I'm in the comfort of my room. Mm-hmm. But dog, I don't know, it adds a whole kind of like different dynamic because I get too comfortable, you know what I'm saying? The only time I'm on Zoom is with this freaking guy, you know what I'm saying? And we over here talking crazy. And now the next time I'm on Zoom that's not with this dude, I have to dress professionally in my room and look like a professional for this damn interview.
I just got a question.
Don't do it.
When they answered, like when their face popped out, did you go, yeah?
I was like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another
welcome to another Zoom interview.
Just threw it on, bro. It was just a crazy dynamic, man, because it's, you know, like I said, like I'm in the comfort of my room, I'm over here dressed up, but I felt dumb doing it in my room, so then I got nervous. It's a freaking Zoom interview. Why are you getting nervous? I'm not even in their presence. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like in an in-person interview, you can gauge better of your chances. You know what I'm saying? After it was done, I was nervous as hell. I was like, dude, I don't know if I got that. The long pauses. You know what I'm saying? If your Wi-Fi connection is off, then there's going to be, you know, just glitches like, and I didn't want that because my Wi-Fi be acting up. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that it do. I'm glad that it didn't. But also still, there were still long pauses in between taking notes. And if I see that in person, I'm like, okay, she's taking notes. But if I answer a question and then it's just, I'm sitting there shitting bricks for the next 5 seconds. I'm like, dude, did I fuck up somewhere? And then she has to get up and be like, oh, no, sorry. Sorry for the long pauses. I was taking notes. So it made me a little more nervous. I was just like.
What if she had narcolepsy and was just falling asleep? Maybe. So what is your experience in this department?
Oh, okay. And then also about your... I'm like, and leave meeting. I don't have that job. But yeah, I thought it was kind of crazy to have a freaking interview over Zoom. And I bought a shirt. I bought a short sleeve button down shirt that day that I'm only going to wear once for the fucking thing in my room. Okay. I didn't get to go outside and wear it.
I'm looking at you right now. I'm looking at you right now. Was it this similar setup?
Similar setup, yeah, but you know, green screen background and shit.
Why we don't get the green screen background? You know
what I'm saying? Don't ask me. This is not a professional environment, bro.
What the heck? Why we gotta look at your bed? I want to see wilderness behind you or something. Yeah. You have a green screen?
Well, I didn't do the green screen effect. I'm talking about, you know, the interviewer. She had not me. Yeah. No. Oh no. She saw the bed. She saw the whole setup.
Okay. I thought you was being brand new and doing okay. So your setup, it was just like this, right?
Yeah, just like this.
Were you like this so that she could see the sleezers?
Nah, bro, the sleeves are down. Well, I don't know, man. I just gotta say, out of all my experiences, and it was just, yeah.
So do you think...
Did you show your sleeves, man? Screw this guy, bro. Well, what happened?
Did you ace it? Did you hit it at the park?
I aced it. At the time, you know, she gave me a time. She was like, okay, expect between 24 to 48 hours and you'll get a response. Shitting bricks in the next 24, 48 hours. Don't put a number to it like that because I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, okay, 48 hours. If I don't get a response, I don't have it. And then, you know what I'm saying? It's just start acting up. But after that, I got it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Congrats. Congrats, thanks, brother.
Man. Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So pizza party on Marcus. Let's
you
go.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Pizza party on Marcus. So.
Are you excited? Like, how can I ask that? Like, how long until you go into your new endeavor?
A couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah, does your old work know about your new work?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they know. Yeah.
Are they going to fight for you?
I don't know.
What if they did? They
do.
What if they did?
Oh, I feel flattered.
$2 raise?
$2. Ooh, for real. What dangle that?
What you doing?
I would, yeah, probably just go for the $2 raise or give me the position. Give me a higher position.
Oh, you want to be you want to be a snitch too?
Yeah.
Don't be talking about me.
Nah, you're in a class all on your own, bro.
They don't know that. They don't know that.
They don't know that. Patreon.com/thePolyticket podcast just in case.
Hey, well, congratulations, my brother. Well deserved.
Thank you, man.
Is that appropriate? Is it a pay raise?
Is it a pay raise?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Lateral, but still
you know what I'm ahead.
Because, you know, go where you're wanted. Go where you're appreciated.
Thank you.
Know your worth.
Thank you. Know your worth, King. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, that's all, bro. Had that Zoom interview and shit. What the hell's going on with you?
I seen that you put a work thing, so I put a work thing. I still got to do my 3-month evaluation. Nice. You know, I've been there for like four, almost five, like a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They gave us a packet, and so we have to judge our own work. Like, there's like a 1 through 5 scale, and they ask us like, you know, team leading, team player, you know, working around schedule, you know. Like all those things, and I'm kind of, I don't, man, I'm scared to answer.
Why, you go put 5 across the board? <'Cause>
if I'm being honest, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know, like, I don't know.
What kind of mind games are they trying to play with you?
Well, no, it's because, so, I mean, my boss said that that part doesn't matter, it's the feedback part that actually matters, but this part is just a necessity. But the thing is, we judge ourselves on all these different tasks within our role.
Yeah.
And then our boss, we go over it with our boss, and then she judges us. Like, there's 2 boxes. So for them, for us. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be like hella. I don't want to give myself a 4. She give me a 1. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to go too low and then have it be like, oh, this dude has no confidence in his work. Like, we should get this guy out of here. Like, I'm an overthinker. So I'm just scared. Like, if I go too high, then I look conceited. If I go too low, then I ain't got no backbone. God.
You know what I'm saying? So glad I'm not the only one who thinks like that. Because, man, it bothers me, bro. And then I start thinking like, oh, why did they have it this way? What are they trying to get out of me? What is it they're trying to figure out?
When she showed us the packet and we were all looking at it, we're just like, oh. She was like, oh, no, she was like, this part isn't as important as the written down, like, what you want to see change. In the workplace.
That's what they tell you.
I know.
Okay. That's what they tell you. Okay. But the internet has taught me to be suspicious of everything, bro.
Yeah. So I don't. Yeah. I'm just. I brought it home so I could do it because I think we got to go over it today.
Okay.
And I was looking at it. And I was just like, I'm going to do it in pencil first and then I'm going to do it in pen. Because I don't know.
Why are all these smudge marks over here in lead? Why did he write it in pencil first?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Indecisive. Okay. Indecisive 5.
Can you give us a sample question? Is that okay?
Well, one was like team player ability. Like, are you able to, you know, work around basically like work around hiccups or unexpected things with your colleagues, your coworkers?
Okay, what you put?
I put a 5.
Okay.
No, I put a 4. I put a 4.
Why'd you just change it up? You're not even doing the test right now. Why'd you switch up like that? Yo, don't be nervous, bro. I'm not your boss, bro. It's okay. I'm not here to judge you, dog. I don't have the worksheet either, man.
I hate this guy, bro.
Yo, this guy. Well, it was a 5. Well, actually, it changes to 4. I don't know.
I hope your old job fire you before your new job hire you, bro.
We, I hate it, man.
Get this guy out of here.
I hate it, bro.
But yeah, it was a 4. It was 4.
Okay.
I think. I don't freaking know. Hey, I didn't know I was gonna take a test over here too.
Well, be honest with yourself, man. What do you think?
Is this a solid 4? I'm being honest. It's just okay. I'm forgetful. Forgetful of 5. Okay. How would you rate yourself on the podcast?
Like,
oh. Like, what would your rating of yourself be? Yeah.
I'll give myself a solid 7.5.
Okay, out of 5?
God damn. Okay. Hey, don't do that. Okay. Hey, out of 5. Damn. Conceited. Doesn't get the job.
Humility 0.
0. Yeah. 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think I'm a 7.6.
Yo, screw this guy.
Like 7.51, 7.52, something like that.
He has no morals, bro. His morals are out the window, bro. How much you think that blender cost? 3,000. Cephala, 3,001.
$1. Nah, I'm doing $1. I'm doing $1.
$1.
Shout out to the $1 bidders. Shout out to Big Body Cisco for pointing this out. We had a pretty big outrage in the community over the last week. Yeah. It happened right after we recorded, so we kind of missed it when it was hot. So we're gonna bring it back up. And
oh, well, I mean, it's a topic that always comes up within the community. So yeah, either way, it's going to be tackled by somebody. So,
and shout out to Tassi1K. You know, this is one of the topics he hit me up and was like, "Hey, bro, what's up? You finna throw this on your podcast?" And I said, "You know, we've talked about this a lot. Like, we've talked about this plenty of times. But when it comes up, I mean, this is a politicking podcast. You know, we want to stay current with what everybody in the community is doing. So, I think this was a big deal.
Yeah, definitely.
You wanna go ahead and fill the people in?
Yeah. So Big Body Cisco puts up a post on his Instagram on last Thursday, Thursday, Friday. And it was an actor, a black actor. And I think she's an actress too.
Wait, right? She got one too?
No. I'm not saying that she has one. I'm just saying if she's like an actor or a singer or something.
I don't even know these people.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. So it's a black actor, a black dude, and a black girl on the cover of Playboy. Mm-hmm. And the black dude, whose name is Viren Strickland, has what is called the Song I Miti, right? Mm-hmm. A straight Samoan pair, right? Just displayed on the cover. Mm-hmm. And Cisco put that post out, and then he was just like, you know, discussion, be nice in the comments. And the comments were not nice. Yeah. You know, people were going off, and I think rightfully so. There was a whole lot of discourse, like you said, like we've talked about this a lot when it comes to the culture, and then when things devolve into like a race talk and then the N-word talk, you know what I'm saying? There was a whole bunch of discussions going on, and I mean, rightfully so. I feel like people should be outraged at this, and for a specific reason. So, God bless it. This little Byron Strickland just he I don't know, man. He fucked it up. he fucked up a lot of shit. So, you know, what were some of the things that you were seeing on Twitter or Instagram about this shit, bro? Like, what was people saying, man? Because the comments was nasty.
Obviously, a lot of people were upset, you know, that he got it, upset at the Tufunga, whoever gave it to him. They were upset. Yeah. You know, just saying that this is something sacred, this is something that, you know, like the sleeves and all those other designs, you know, it's kind of too far gone, you know, they're kind of widespread and everybody, you know, when it comes to that, like, there's only a certain select few who actually can do it and do it well, you know,
there's a whole bunch of talk about, like, you know, he didn't deserve to have it, Why did he have it? Like, does he have any Polynesian or Samoan blood in him? You know, there's a lot of talk of that, you know, lineage. And then people were making some kind of wacky comparisons, in my friggin' opinion, bro. Yeah. You know, people were saying that, like, you know, we're like, you guys are getting mad that he has the tattoo, but you guys say the N-word in your music. Mm-hmm. You know, it was things like that. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, it was just, I don't know, just the same shit that just always comes up. And this thing has so many layers to it. I don't know where to start, bro.
Yeah,
I don't know where to start. You know,
I know where I want to start.
Go ahead.
I want to start with, I disagree with it. I don't think he should have got it. I don't think the tattooers, the Tufunga, should have gave it to him. Mm-hmm. I can also acknowledge that I am not as well versed in the culture as the Tufunga probably is, most likely is. So maybe there's a page in history that we're missing. That, you know, maybe in the past this has been a thing. Maybe, I don't know. But what I do know, and this is the part, I had to start off with that so that people could understand where I'm coming from, right? Mm-hmm. But what I do know is I don't look at the comparisons to the N-word or the comparisons to hip-hop. I don't look at that as a wacky comparison or as a... I don't look at, like, I see the comparison and I understand it.
Okay. Right?
If you think about it, if you just read it, right? If you just read the comments of people who are not Samoan who are speaking on it, to them it's just a tattoo. And there's a lot behind that. There's a lot of, like, feelings behind that as well, because it's like, no, this is our culture. This is something that we've, you know, we've had for centuries, for, you know, and this is something that has a history. And then so to them, it's just a tattoo. To us, it's a lot more. But then we turn around and say, no, well, it's just a word. Or no, it's just music. Mm-hmm. You know, and we kind of, it's one of those situations. I think I've spoken this last time. It's like we want everyone to understand our culture, but we don't want to understand anyone else's culture.
Okay.
And
I had a feeling that you were going to think of it that way, you know, and mm-hmm. that's cool. My whole argument against that was that, like, the origin of each is so different that mm-hmm. to me, that comparison is apples and oranges, right? Mm-hmm. The N-word comes from what? Overt racism, hate, and then it was bastardized and taken back by the community. Mm-hmm. The stuff that he, you know, the Pe'a, the song I Miti, mm-hmm. there's a lot more. There is, I mean, I'm sure there's darkness in the history of it, mm-hmm. but it's not its origin, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like because of that, that comparison is kind of it's wrong to make. And I think a better one to make would be if I were to come out and wear some African cultural wear to a place that, to, you know, to wherever.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a more apt comparison if I were to do some shit like that.
What makes the N-word or hip hop music less?
It doesn't make it less. It doesn't make it less or more. I feel like their origins are so different.
Less protected. What makes it less protected than African wear or Samoan Tatao? Like what makes
the origin of it is what I'm saying. I feel like because the way that he's displaying the song on Miti, it's like he's wearing it as like an aesthetic with no knowledge of where it's from, no immersion into the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But with the it would be the same thing if I were to do that with African cultural wear. And I think with rap and hip hop, it's probably it's a separate discussion, I feel like.
Well, no. So my stance is the N-word and hip hop
mm-hmm.
should be exclusive to Black Americans, right?
Yes.
And you're saying that it shouldn't because of the origins of it. It was started.
I'm not trying to say that it shouldn't. Uh-huh. I'm just saying that it's not an apt argument to make to defend him being able to wear the song on Miti.
And I'm saying why?
Because of the origins of each. Uh-huh. They're very different. And I feel like an apt comparison would be if I were to come out with some African cultural wear with no knowledge of the culture that I'm wearing. Because he's wearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Literally just wearing that. Not immersed in any kind of culture, but he's over here on the front of Playboy doing what he does. If I was on the front of Playboy with some kind of African countries cultural wear, then I would look crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be I'm just saying that that's a better argument to make to defend that than using the N-word, because it's different. The origin is different, and it's apples and oranges, bro. But that is a separate discussion to have in another time, but just not in this one.
I'm looking at the use of the N-word as a term of endearment and in part of music and hip hop. I'm looking at all of that mm-hmm. as the foundation of Black American culture.
Culture. Yes.
And so I don't think that's separate. Like being able to us using it or us being a part of it, I feel like that's the same thing. Like they're looking at it to us. That's how they feel. Mm-hmm. They feel like y'all shouldn't be saying it. They feel like hip hop is ours.
And I'm not I'm not trying to downplay that. I'm not trying to undermine that. I'm not trying to sit there and say don't feel that way. I definitely mm-hmm. feel that way, bro. But go on. Sorry. Go on.
No, but I just don't understand why. Is it because it's clothing?
Yeah,
and it's like that's visual.
How, that's how I'm looking at it, right? But I think you're looking at it as overall culture, not just specifically the clothing.
Yeah,
and so I understand where you're coming from.
And I think, well, no, you can't say that because some cultures take clothing and some cultures take tattoos more importantly than others. So I won't even make that comparison. But I don't look at their comparisons as crazy at all. Okay. Like I see it, I hear it, and I'm like, okay, they got a point. Like, at what point do we listen to Black Americans and have them say, this is sacred to us, this is ours, we don't want anyone to participate in it? The same way that we look at everyone else and say, this is our Samoan tattoos, this is the Songhai Miki, this mm-hmm. is sacred to us, we don't want people a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at those two statements as very similar and as like, they're not really wrong, you know?
Okay.
So
you are confirming the fact that the N-word just used, not even just in rap, but as a term of endearment, all of that is definitely Black American culture.
Yeah.
It's definitely Black American culture. Okay, so my whole thing was like, if that's the way of thinking, then my original point, like before I thought about it some more, was that like, if that's your way of thinking, if you for real look at that as part of Black American culture, then we got to look at the origins of each, right? The word, the N-word, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Because that was the biggest focus, mm-hmm. right? You're looking at overall culture, but people were too zoned in on the N-word. I think your point is to look at it. I think your point to look at overall culture is better than just looking and focusing on the N-word being used.
Oh, yeah. No, that was one of many things. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And mind you, I started this by saying I disagree with everything that happened. Yes. I'm only saying this specific part to say, like, I'm trying to make the comparisons to other people because, you know, you started by saying I think the comparison is wrong. I mm-hmm. think the comparison is right. And once we establish that the comparison is right, mm-hmm. once we establish that the Tao to us is sacred, this is ours, we don't think someone should participate. And then we listen to Black Americans and listen to them say, these things are of our culture. This is sacred to us. We don't think y'all should participate. Once that level of grounding level of understanding is confirmed, is agreed upon, then we go from there. Because I seen, what's his name? Freddie Hot Sauce.
Mm.
I seen him and his comments were like, I love my poly brothers and sisters. You know, they make hip hop music. They say the N word. You know, us doing this and us doing that, we're like, you can't help. And I took his comment and I'm kind of just making a general statement. It's kind of like, we can't help certain interactions of culture. Like, it's never going to be like all the way there. So we should embrace it. That's what he was saying. Right.
Mm.
There's a big deal on TikTok about Black tacos.
Right, where, right.
You know, you got oxtail taco, like stuff that they never seen in Mexico or whoever was making the tacos originally. And now they putting a spin on it. You know what I'm saying? So this whole like culture thing is mixing and meshing and you can't be there to stop everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah, I'm in that camp. I hear you.
So I'm only saying if we're against it in this sense, let's be against it at every sense. Let's not tell people to understand our culture and and accept our rules of our culture without understanding them and accepting them. Listen, that's the only reason I brought that up.
I hear you.
That's the only reason I brought that up. I just want to establish that their comparison to hip hop, to the N-word, to whatever else that they got going on in Black American culture. Let's let them make their rules. Let's let them make things sacred. Let's listen to them the same way we want them to listen to us. And that's the only thing. And at the bottom of all of that, I want to say is I don't think he should have got the tattoo. I don't think that Tufunga should have gave him the tattoo. I think there should be lines and regulations. There are things in our culture that are sacred. Let's listen. Hopefully the people on the outside of our culture listen to us and hear it. And let's make a ruckus. Let's make them feel uncomfortable. Let's make him block everybody on Twitter and TikTok and all that. Let's go to the Tufungas and disagree like that. Right. But let them do that when it's their turn.
Right.
That's the only reason I'm trying to say everything I said before. Let them do the same thing. Let them make us feel uncomfortable when we're encroaching on their territory of culture, of sacred, you know, whatever. Because and the reason why I asked you, why is this not as protected as the African, you know, clothing wear? And I think that was just because it was visual. But my thing is, a lot of people will look at the Songhai Miki and all of that, and they will say, no, this part of our culture is more sacred than your part because your guys' culture just started.
Right.
Your guys' stuff is, you guys just made it up. I've seen that a lot on Twitter and TikTok. You guys just made that up like that, you know? And so my thing is,
ours is so old. Yeah.
And my thing is, just because it was the inception of hip hop, of Black American culture, all of these things, just because it was recent doesn't mean it's less important.
Right.
Maybe historically it just doesn't have that history to it, but it has to get somewhere. You got to understand, you know, they were ripped from their culture. They had to create something new. So I just wanted to establish that if we want it to be true for us, if we want people to understand us, we have to understand people.
Okay. I hear you. And I didn't say what I said just to downplay the importance, you know what I'm saying? Like, you hit it on the head. It's all, it was all visual for me.
Yeah.
So I felt like the comparison was not apt. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I know I'd probably get treated crazy if I was to do some shit like that, the opposite of that. But that's, you know.
You being old playboy, though.
Yeah, and I, yeah, something crazy, anything like that. So I understand that, and I don't want to downplay that at all. You know what I'm saying? And I'm totally in agreement with you, bro. So if that's the case, right, if we don't know, like, why the Tufungas did what they did, then I feel like, you know, people are trying to say that he deserves it because of this, that, and the other, and they don't. If we're going to judge on if somebody freaking deserves it or not, let's look at their character. And this guy did not respond well at all. He showed exactly why he didn't deserve this at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this also makes me think of the talk that we had, because people were trying to talk about, you know, how celebrated the Tatao culture is and its origins and stuff. And how, like, with the Tufungas and stuff, you know, how you said it's such a like niche thing to learn that you need to, you know, be an apprentice or what have you, and in order to carry that on, and people want to keep it pure by just doing Samoans, right?
Yeah.
But then I remember you brought up the idea of going to the outsiders, you know, to tattoo other outsiders in order to preserve, you know, to preserve what we got going on.
I was saying to give, because I remember that talk. I was saying, either keep it pure and let it die, or keep it tainted and let it live. And what I meant by tainted and live, I didn't mean this tainted. I didn't mean for us to tattoo everybody outside of the culture. I meant to tattoo Samoans who aren't aware of the duties that come with a Songhai.
Right.
That's what I meant.
Because
traditionally that is killing off the culture, because you're giving it to people who technically have not deserved that right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if we was to judge that, then we got to go on character and whatever, you know. I feel like, I think me from 2 years ago would have just seen that and hated it off the rip just because he wasn't Samoan, you know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to be more open to the idea of outsiders getting it because of that talk we had with preserving, you know what I'm saying? But I know
I'm not okay with it. Right. I don't think. Okay, yeah. It, the only part I was talking about where I was saying
Samoans
who may not speak the Maathai language, or Samoans who don't understand the duties, I think they should still get it, because they will always reserve the right to live up to that. Right, they will always reserve. I think people outside of the culture, they will never be able to live up to that.
Yeah. No matter how much they go to, you know, whichever Samoa to immerse themselves in it. Yeah, no matter what, huh? Okay.
Shout out to my homegirl Tiana. She said it best a long time ago. A long time for 12, 13, I don't know. A long time ago, she said, for people who get it and say, you know, I love the culture, you know, I studied the culture, I lived in it, I was immersed in it. And she said, if you understand it and you appreciate well enough, if you understand it and appreciate it as much as you say you do, then you should understand it's not for you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand it's not for you, then there's a higher level of understanding that you haven't reached yet. Oh. And when she told me that, I was like, yeah, there's you know what I'm saying? There's nothing else to say about it. So she said that years ago. Almost 10 years ago, and it's always stuck with me, and I always think it, and it's always applied, you know?
Well, so, yeah, you hear that, Mr. Strickland. You fucked up. You fucked up.
And
you
I don't think...
up. I don't you think fucked
he,
up.
I don't think he should be getting the heat as much as the Tufunga. I honestly think we should be redirecting that. And it shouldn't be hate. It should be like, what's going on? Yeah. You know, we need to check our... And you know what? I wasn't gonna bring this up, but I will. I seen so many people in them comments who was okay with this, and I just didn't understand. And
okay with what? Oh, just him.
They were okay with the tattoo. They were okay with him getting it. I seen a lot, and then I started seeing some comments saying, "Oh, you know, we got cousins who get it all the time who don't deserve it, so why not this?" And I spoke in it earlier. My thing is, your cousins that Samoan, they will always reserve the right to live up to it. It don't matter if you get it and not know anything. You will always have the potential to live up to that Songhai Miki. Outsiders who get it, they will never be able to live up to it, in my opinion. And I feel like it should be in everyone's opinion. They will never be able to live up to it in its truest form, because it's not for you. You know, and that's no hate. That's not me. You know, I'm not finna go on these comments and say all these crazy things. I seen his response, and he posted, what was that from? Was it All About the Money? I forgot what movie that's from.
Money Talks.
Yeah. And it was a clip of Chris Tucker, and he was just like, I don't know why you mad at me. You just mad at me because I look better in your own. Like you know. And so he posted that, and he obviously was responding. But my thing is, I seen some comments that was racially charged. I seen some crazy comments. You know what I'm saying? Like from our people. And so I don't think those kind of comments warrant a dignified response. You know. So I wasn't too mad at what he said. I think in general, this all could have been avoided if the Tufunga didn't do what he did. And I feel like we gotta hear from him. Like, what makes this okay? I see a lot of people hinting at it being a cash grab.
Ooh.
I see a lot of, and you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is. We can speculate all we want. We don't know why he did that. But
hey, I'm not trying to make this racially charged. I'm just trying to talk shit about this guy's character and his response. Fuck him.
Yeah. Hey, and that's
exactly
right.
Why he didn't deserve it. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right.
You know, besides just being an outsider of it, just the way you acted when everybody was getting on you, you just showed exactly why you didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
On top of being an outsider to the culture. So fuck you, Byron Strickland. You're the donkey of the day. You suck. Okay. But also the Tufungas. Yeah. I want to know why. Cash grab. But like, in what way? Like how? How to be a cash grab? Just to
get money to do it.
Right. He's an outsider. He looks like he's got a lot of money and shit. Probably, you know, he's an actor or some shit. Probably has money.
I mean, just to have another Songhai Miki on the schedule, that's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, I don't know how much it costs, but that's, you know, that's money. Hey. So I don't know why, but I will say this. Having relationships with people, it's like watering down the culture. It's watering down the music. It's watering down so many different things, bro.
Explain yourself. What are you talking about?
I seen so many people in there that was cool with it that to me should have been against it or should have not, you know, I don't know. It just seemed off for some of these people in our culture, some people who have some status in our culture to agree with it or to be okay with it. Right. Ooh. And I just think.
But what did you mean about the relationships part? What you talking about?
Because they, I could only imagine them being cool with the Tufunga, being cool with, because, you know, the Tufunga is famous. Like, everybody knows them. I know them, too. And so when you have that relationship with people, it's like you don't always want to, you're not finna go out there and speak your mind. That's your homie. That's your friend. That's your acquaintance. So you're not finna go out there. And I'm not saying that about myself, because I honestly don't have no ill will towards nobody, even if I know them or I don't know them. I just don't care. I don't care about people enough. We do this podcast to stay up to date with current cultural events. But I just think when you people enough. I don't care. I really don't. Bruh, I was talking.
My guy be tweeting reckless. Just like he be reckless.
I just. I'm in Canada. I got a cool little job. I'm out the way. I got my little honeycomb hideout. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, none of this really affects me like that. I'm not leaning on the music to try to survive anymore like I used to. So them like relationships or bonds or whatever, it don't really affect my personal day-to-day life. But I could see how it can.
How it would for other people
who have
status and those kind of
who depend on that networking.
That's an ugly can of worms, bud.
I think it kind of waters down everything. It's like you can't really speak your mind. You can't really tell the truth without people getting too sensitive about things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and people will sit there and say, "Yeah, you can. You can definitely say whatever you want." But it's like, dog, there's a lot. There's a lot that goes into this shit.
Yeah, and there's a lot. I think it starts. I think the reason why you can't do this in our culture is because we're not the kind of people to put down our friends. Like young, we taught, you know, you don't ever check your people in public, you check them in private, like this whole thing, right? And it's just, it makes things difficult. It makes things difficult to progress, because when something's wrong, but then your homie's attached to it, you can't really speak on it, or you have to say that you vouch for it, or you have to be in support of it. Right. And I just, you know,
even saying nothing is a response. Saying nothing is a response now. Yeah.
It's some people that I thought
saying nothing.
Yeah. It's some people that I thought was going to be at the front lines of this that didn't say nothing. And I was surprised. Mm. I was really surprised. But I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know who knows who or who knows what. Ooh. So there's just, it's just too much. You know what I'm saying? Like it's, I don't know, man.
Damn, you sounded like Drake right now.
I don't know. I don't know.
Shut your whole ass up and make some drums.
yo, shout out to Drake. Drake has responded. They have poked the bear. They woke the demon up. You know, this is not all. Bruh, you got one more time to come over here with your big old water glass. You got the whole Atlantic Ocean in his cup right now, bruh.
I'm thirsty, man. I'm thirsty.
That's water that was displaced when old boy parted the sea. That's where the water went.
Boy?
I forgot his name. Is it Moses? Is Abraham? Yes, Moses. I don't know. Moses. Yeah.
Moses.
Yeah. It was like, where the water go? Where the water go?
Sorry, fell in by his shit.
He went to Marcus's cup.
Yeah.
They woke the demon up. Yeah. Shout out to old boy in the Bible. They woke the demon up. You know what I'm saying? Drake has responded to Kendrick. Drake has responded to Metro. Drake has responded
He was going at everybody.
Rick Ross. Friggin' what's the other dude's name? The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Future.
Metro.
Boom, Future. He started out with Future. Yeah, man.
It's exciting again, man. And I'm seeing all the memes, and the memes are cracking me the hell up, bro.
Yeah.
The ones about Metro just going to do the drums and the drum line, all of it is fucking hilarious. And all that to say, rap is fucking fun again. You know what I'm saying? When you got people at the top just talking all this crazy shit. Like, I think the last big cultural moment in rap like this was what? Drake, Meek Mill?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, you talking about beef? You talking about like diss records, then yeah.
Not just diss records, but like where people's attention was on rap like this.
Okay.
You know, because I don't really remember it being crazy like this, and you know, until, well, if not Drake and Meek, then like Pusha.
Yeah,
Drake,
I was about to say, yeah, Pusha and Drake.
Pusha and Drake. Yeah, but as far as like being a hip hop fan and all this shit going on, yeah, it's pretty fun to watch.
Do you think this stays just hip hop? And this is the issue. The when this dropped, I understood J. Cole's apology 100%. I feel like he caught wind of what was going on, and he didn't want to be involved in this.
Yeah.
Because what J. Cole was trying to do, keep it all on wax and talk strictly about music, Drake was not trying to do it all.
Yeah.
And so
things are getting personal.
Yeah.
Things seem to be getting very personal.
So I don't think, you know, I think people should look at J. Cole's apologies more as like, I'm finna just not be involved in this because I ain't trying to go there.
Yeah, people were making fun of that. There were hella memes of that.
Making fun of him bowing out?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Did you not see that? You not see that? People are like, okay. People are like, you know, I respect, or what is it? I understand J. Cole. I respect him for what he did, but I can't listen to his music anymore. You know, people are doing scenes from freaking, what is it? Boys in the Hood. Boys in the Hood. When Trey, you know, Trey's riding around with Doughboy, and then they're calling him freaking J. Cole for getting out the car. Like, they're calling J. Cole the kid who stayed inside because they shooting outside. Or no, did J. Cole tell him to go inside because people are shooting out there? Yeah, bro. People are talking all the shit.
The reason why I don't care about none of those people saying none of that is because these memes is being made by some 14-year-old white boys who live in Connecticut who ain't been outside for nothing. I don't care about what none of these people are saying. It's true.
Leave it up to Seth to suck the fun out of the fucking rap. We understand, bro.
And you know what? I don't even listen to Cole like that. Like, I listened back to the last pod, and it sounds like I'm the biggest Cole stan like ever.
Yeah.
And the only album of Cole's that I really listened to, like full way through, was Four Seal Drive.
So then what the hell are you talking about all this shit for?
Because it's true. This dude has never been a malicious type of artist. I don't know why. All of these people that's making these memes and making these jokes, 99% of them, they would do the same thing if it was them. It don't matter to me. All of this talk, which, like, if we was beefing and some little white kid, 12-year-old white kid from the suburbs was like, oh, you scared to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you wouldn't punch nobody in the face, so why would I listen to what you got to say? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But we could get off of Cole because whatever. I didn't see no memes like that. I guess
because Cole is in the corner over here, you know, because everybody's shooting outside.
And they said Cole back in the house because everybody's shooting. As soon as somebody gets touched, everybody that's laughing at this is gonna be like, bro,
J. Cole was right. Yeah.
We need to piece it up.
J. Cole was right, dude.
We'll wait until that. And you know what? When people start getting touched and you start seeing people laughing at people getting jumped or getting beat up or getting whatever, you see those people, them people ain't really from the culture anyways, because they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand what's finna happen or what's finna escalate. Hey,
look, man. Look, relax. I'm on your team. I totally understand what you're saying.
Shout out to Vince Staples for telling the truth. Vince, do you see what Vince Staples said?
What'd he say?
He said all of this rap beef don't mean nothing. Y'all need to be fighting the labels.
Mm.
Vince Staples,
he's always been saying that.
And he's well accustomed to warfare. Like, he's from where it's at.
Yeah.
And if this dude who is from there could say, this mug don't matter. Mm-hmm. Come on, bro. No, nobody else is gonna say that. But shout out to Vince Staples, bro. He keeping it solid. But when it comes to this Drake dish, how did you feel about it? What did you think?
I thought it was fun, man. I thought it was a fun listen. I like seeing the discourse. I love seeing everybody talk. And I thought it was AI. And I loved everybody thinking it was AI, that it wasn't real.
I thought it was too.
Yeah, like the speculation had me just, you know, foaming at the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like. It was just fun to see everybody talk all their shit and the memes and stuff, you know, without thinking about where the memes are coming from. It's pretty fucking fun, Seth. You can enjoy yourself, okay? I understand there are real life consequences from these beefs and shit.
Yeah,
you know, there are very real life consequences, man. But goddamn, enjoy it right now, hey, man.
Laugh now, cry later. Laugh now, cry later. Bam, laugh bam, now. Bam, 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 bam. What do you think was the scathing part of this diss? Like, what do you think like is gonna stick?
Oh, the way he just hold the fucking he made Metro look like a hoe. Just did not respond to it. Just like, dude, shut the hell up. Probably that. I mean,
did you get why it was called that?
What?
The job and give me 50?
Yeah. I mean, I read about it, but yeah, he was talking about Top. Mm-hmm. Like Top is what, extorting Kendrick. That's why he left. He was asking for 50% of all of his profits, and that's, you know, speculating why he left and started PG Lang, which I don't know what the fuck that even is still.
Well, I don't remember that part. I thought he said I was trying to keep it PG. Like, he got way more to say.
Well, yeah, but also, that's also a reference to his little thing that he started with Dave Free.
Oh, you're talking about Kendrick's thing. Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, whatever. The dumb details that we really don't give a fuck about.
You see the part where he was talking about, or he was hinting at Kendrick's wife cheating on him with a bodyguard?
Yeah. I didn't make the connection when I heard it the first time.
I didn't understand it because I was like, why is Drake, why is he bragging about having bodyguards?
Right. This is some straight inside baseball, inside the industry type shit that we're not freaking privy to.
And so when I heard it, I didn't get it. And when I read about it, I was like, oh. But when I heard the whole drop and give me 50 and the, like, you know, he was like, Swifties. he was saying, like, you know, and all of that, bro.
What?
Nah, I feel like all of the top artists is getting extorted in that way, though.
Yeah, that's been a thing in rap for a very long time. You know, Checking In, freaking Jimmy Henchman, motherfucking, of that.
He said, but splits might make your pants rip or something like that.
So childish. Like, that is like a good hallmark of a good beef. It's like when people are childish as shit. Mm-hmm. You know? That fool Nas called Jay-Z Gay-Z.
Gay-Z and Cockafella Records wanna beef.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know? Just from a hip-hop, a pure hip-hop. Uh-huh. It's just fun again to see. But yeah, man, if you just want to look at all the behind-the-scenes fucking behind-the-veil type shit like you are, just like, God damn, this shit sucks. Everything sucks, dude.
I'm so angry
and sad. I know.
You have to in this beef because Drake is so coded.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of his I see a lot of people that don't pay attention to Drake or don't pay attention to hip hop like that anymore, like older people. They're so confused with this. They're like, why do y'all like this so much?
And
like,
I've been diving down the rabbit hole of like freaking the timelines and shit, you know, Drake and K-Dot fucking timelines and then all the shots and all that shit. Like, it's just, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. And this has been simmering for like 10 plus years.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy to think about. Yeah, people who are outside of it don't understand. They don't get it. Like, what are you guys saying? Like, well, wait a minute. Let's see what Drake is talking about. But he's been aiming shots at everybody for years.
I think Drake, this was a cool little warning shot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This was a cool little warning shot. I don't think he could be quiet after this. Because if Kendrick responds, I think Drake has to respond. And I feel like if Drake does respond, it's finna... This was good, that's why. Like, I see a lot of people talking about it, but like, this was a great, I think this was a great little first, like putting a name on the bullet type of ordeal, you know? Yeah. But I'm excited, like, because Drake and Kendrick are they can rap, but they're also both like song makers.
Yeah.
Like, they both have anthems.
Bro,
so like,
they are on the same plane, bro, almost, you know what I'm
saying? I wouldn't say that. I would say they're both song makers, though.
Go on.
Yeah, they're both makers. They both know how to make a hit in terms of like playability or replayability, the callback stuff to just make it catchy, the hooks.
I'm just saying that, like, out of all the people that Drake has beef with, Kendrick definitely has like a better he has a better advantage than all those other fools, you know what I'm saying, because of his status in the game, what he's done, his albums are unimpeachable, things like that. And he'll never have as much numbers as Drake. Drake is the numbers guy, right? Yeah. But he can do some damage to that guy.
Okay? But Drake has volume, bro.
Yeah, I know. I'm
like,
not
like
disputing
Kendrick,
that.
Kendrick and Drake can probably make the same quality type music. But what Kendrick does, Drake could do 2-3 times more.
Yeah.
You know, so
it, and that's it, his biggest advantage is the volume and the numbers.
So it's a little different, but
yeah, the scales are different, right? But I feel like just out of everybody that Drake has had a problem with or beef with, like even Push, he didn't have the volume to back, you know, to do it with Drake, but he dealt some damage to that fool's, you know, to his stuff, his rollout. You know what I'm saying?
He tapped out.
You know, but I remember when that was going on, and before, you know, we started the show back up again, you hit the group chat and we was talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We were saying that Drake is too big to fail, right? I think Kendrick has the biggest chance to put a dent in that armor. Well, even further than Push did. You know what I'm saying?
I just feel like Push did everything. He checked every box.
Yeah,
he checked exactly every box. And none of it mattered. Drake is still the biggest artist. Yeah, if Push couldn't tarnish his name with what he said, we didn't even know he had a kid. He talked about 40 having cancer or something. Mm-hmm. Like he checked every box that you could do. He used the Jay-Z beat.
Yeah.
And none of it mattered. Drake is still the biggest artist in the world.
Well, Steve, you're thinking of it like the end goal was just to damage Drake forever and get him the fuck out of the top spot. Mm-hmm. When you got to think of it like, well, actually, I just dropped some shit that nobody knew as a big response to what the fuck you've been doing for years. And this is a long simmering beef. And I threw that fucking thing into your armor and it pierced your shit. Okay? You can still be at the top and bro. People didn't know about his son. That was a big one that took a shot at Drake as like a person. Uh-huh. Like people were mad about that. And the way that, you know, it was how he was gonna announce the rollout for his shoes. Yeah, and it was gonna tie it into announcing his son. Like Pusha T ruined that. You know what I'm saying? It's not about the big victories, bro. Little victories count too. You know what I'm saying? That's my whole thing. Like, you want people to do shit. Like, you expect people to just take Drake off the throne. I don't think he can.
That's what I mean. Nobody can do that. There's no way you can win.
You're looking at it from too big of an angle, bro. You keep throwing in fucking arrows in someone's armor and shit, and it fucking pierces. Then somebody who has the power to take down the king like that, can come and do that. And I'm saying that Kendrick, out of everybody that Drake has beef with, has the biggest chance to slice it off after everybody is throwing their little pot shots at that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And Pusha T did a fantastic job of throwing a fucking chink in the armor, bruh.
But what did it lead to? Like, what? So okay, so you say he got his armor pieced.
It led to things that we don't know what's going on. It's probably some personal shit that's going on in the industry that we'll never know, right? But I think in public perception, bro, like real fans of hip hop who follow this shit know that like Drake has like a bad old brother himself, bro.
But real fans of hip hop,
that's
100. That's like 10% of the world. Who cares what they think? Who cares?
Then who cares what you think? Then
my thing is, if you say he pierced the armor, what was before, and what was after? What has changed?
Public perception?
No, because everybody who hated Drake before hates him still. They just have more reasons to hate him. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed. Pusha T didn't move no needle when it came to Drake. Nothing has. Look at Meek Mill before and after. Meek Mill was, I'm a boss. He came out scorching hot. He was like the coolest thing ever. MMG was popping. Him and Wale and Rick Ross. Meek Mill would drop something, House Party. He would drop, you know, the Dream Chasers mixtapes or whatever. And it was like the whole world shut down. This fool is coming out with music and nobody's listening to it anymore. Mm-hmm. People are talking about, Charged Up. What is War Paint? We didn't even listen to that. Like that's a pierce. Meek Mill went from somebody that was the head of the new class to a dude that we relate to with memes and having his Amazon account linked to his Twitter. Yeah. You know, like that's a real piercing of the armor. Nothing has changed in Drake's appeal, his public perception, none of that. he's still that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not, and Kendrick having the biggest shot to take his head off is great. Like, that's true. I won't deny that. But the biggest shot is like less than 1% possible. Less than 1% is going to happen that he gets his head taken off and that he gets turned into a meme like Meek Mill did. So I don't like it.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying he has the best chance. That's all I was saying.
I mean, he has the best chance everybody. You're right. It's not a big chance.
It's not a big one, but it's the best one.
It's like a 1% chance that he takes Drake's head off. But everybody else did have like 0.5% chance. So I'll give you that. But it just, I don't buy into that. I think Pusha T had he checked off every box to take down this behemoth of an artist and nothing happened. And nothing happened. So, well,
because, it's the volume. You said
he's too big to fail.
He's too big to fail.
Awesome.
But also, like, just to, because I wanted to talk about this last week when, like, Cole apologized and stuff, but, like, it's funny that you bring up Vince Staples because, man, Vince Staples has been saying that shit about rap for a very long time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it says it right here on the note that I put in last week, dude. He called out Spotify for using the beat for marketing. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So he's already just talking shit to not just the labels. He's talking shit to the streamers. Like, bro, y'all over here profiting off of what could potentially be another Black Death within the rap community.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, shout out to Vince Staples, dog.
Shout out to Vince Staples.
And shout out to rap. Shout out to hip hop, I guess, because Sepha doesn't care about real hip hop fans.
I don't care about what y'all got to say, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I don't care.
Canada, I don't care. Right? You don't care. My guy's gonna be out here reckless.
You know who I do care about?
Oh God,
Alyssa Peely got drafted 8th overall pick in the WNBA draft. Drafted to the Minnesota Lynx. I don't even know what that is, but I'm a Minnesota Lynx fan automatically. You know what I'm saying? This WNBA draft, I think, for a lot of people, was the first time they actually tuned in. You know, no disrespect to WNBA prior, but I feel like this is the biggest year for women's college hoop and now transferring into professional.
Yeah.
Second woman of Polynesian descent. Shout out to Island Mogul for posting. Was it Island Mogul or was it Polynesian Music? I don't know who. Yeah,
Polynesian Music.
Yeah, all Polynesian Music, but shout out to them.
Island Mogul, sorry.
Oh, Island Mogul, sorry.
Yeah.
But shout out to both of those platforms, man. If you guys want to get in touch with the Polynesian community or not Pacific Islander community, shout out to Polynesian Music. Shout out to Island Mogul. They do well. They're a great representation of our culture. Alyssa Peely was the second woman of Polynesian descent to play in the WNBA or to be drafted. Do you want to?
What a fucking plastic.
Muli Tao. He's a big hip hop fan,
but a plastic fucking saw boy.
Says the Asian.
All right, read it, motherfucker. Read the last name, bro.
Naomi. Naomi Muli Tao Pele, right?
Ooh, see, right? Why'd you ask me to do it?
Because it's funny. Because I was trying to be a comedic partner, but you want to take it further. You want to take it further and call me plastic.
Hell yeah, Naomi Muli Tao Pele, man, 12th overall pick in the year 2000. That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, bro. Like, there was so much attention in college hoops for like March Madness and Caitlin Clark, but then Alyssa Peely, bro, blowing up all over my feeds, bro, and people showing hella love and the videos of not just her family but like the whole community being behind her at Utah.
Yeah.
Like, bro, she is a trailblazer, bro. And so this is awesome to see.
Samoan and Alaskan Native descent, so she's half and half. And shout out to Indigenous people as well. I seen a lot of them pulling up to the games.
Yeah, bro.
She represented both sides of her really well, and so many people came out to support her.
Yeah,
it was dope to see, but she is a baller.
Yeah, bro.
Like, I want to see you play her. Like, straight up, we should try to make that. Yo, it should be 2-on-1, me and you versus
her. Hell yeah, bro. She's too good, bro.
You think we can score?
Hell no. Between the two of us, hell no, bro. We might get a 1 or 2.
We might need Lance.
We need Lance. It'll be 21-2, 1v2, bro.
Yo, Alyssa Peely, yo, what's up? 3-on-1, what's up?
Yeah, huh? What, you a real baller? What's up?
You, you played a 21, we'll play the 5. Let's see who can win.
Come on, bro. Yeah, give us the handicap. We're playing. Yeah, man. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I haven't seen this much attention on women's basketball, just like women's basketball in general, in a very long time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With you know, alongside Angel Reese, like, you know,
yeah,
it's a huge shift, bro. Like, things are happening.
I'm really about to watch WNBA more than I watch my Kings, because I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. Shout, Minnesota Lynx. I'm gonna figure out how I can watch y'all from here, because I'm tuning in, and they play soon. Like, they play in May, and their first game is like May 17th or something.
Oh, hell yeah!
You know.
So with all that being said, right, with the with like the resurgence of popularity in women's basketball, college and WNBA, right? There are some talks that I've been seeing over the years, right, about salaries and the difference between, you know, WNBA and the NBA, and people are kind of like, you know, they were talking about that, you know what I'm saying? And if I, you know, and we put that in the notes to really talk about, because we learned that the year one base salary for top four picks in the WNBA is $76,000 a year. $76,000 a year. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And like, you know, it's a good talking point, right? Like, there are a lot of people who don't like the fact that their pay is so low compared to the men's, and then it turns into a whole gender thing. And it just gets crazy from there. But I mean, it seems like nobody values them. Nobody values the WNBA. Not a lot of people are attending the games. Not a lot of people are buying merch like that. You know what I'm saying? So there's not that much, you know, money. Well, there's not much support behind it. There's money behind them. I think they're like a subsidiary of the NBA or something. Like, they're partnered together. So there's money behind them. There's just not much support. So the money matches the amount of support that the WNBA gets. And I don't know, I've just been seeing that talk a lot lately, along with like just women's sports in general. You know, I've been seeing that over the years for a long time.
I feel like it's always been like a sexist thing, you know, where people have just always had it in the back of their head that men are better than women at sports. And so in turn, men's sports is better than women's sports. And I feel like this year or last year, I feel like last year it was started with Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese and LSU versus Iowa. I feel like that started the whole like, wait, these girls is hooping. Yeah. And then this year, I think for the championship game or something, it was like $14 million, like more than any college basketball game for boys.
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah, the championship game was more than anything for the other side. And so I feel like this, like, I look at this group of women in this draft, this like freshman class or whatever you want to call it. I feel like they're like the, dang, I forgot what they called it in One Piece, but it was like Luffy and his generation of pirates. But
generational,
like,
talents.
Yeah, it was like when Luffy and them came, it was like everybody in his class was like S tier pirates, right? And so in this case, I feel like all of these, like these, this group of women is like all generational. And it's really rare for you to get a one or two players before like a whole first 10 picks to be all generational. And also I feel like the NIL deals where they're able to get money, they're able to be faces of products, or able to be sponsored by different companies and organizations. I feel like that's played a big part into it too, because now, even if you don't watch the game, you seeing them on commercials, you seeing them at different events, you see, you know, so like all of these things are contributing to like this new wave of women athletes that we're just more aware of. And it's more than just sex appeal, because there have been women athletes, track stars, basketball players who have had like the sex appeal and done the whole, you know, like modeling slash athlete. And this time, it's not about that. It's purely off of skill and purely off of like sponsorships, promo deals and all that. And so I do, the salary stuff does suck. The stuff that you're saying is true. A lot of, you know, not a lot of people in the past have supported this, but Caitlin Clark's jersey sold out in an hour.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, the first pick of the draft, her jersey sold out within an hour. And I think things is about to change. I think things is about to change. I think the NBA is finna I think the NBA is going to have way more opportunities to collaborate with the WNBA. Like, I feel like they kind of integrated them a little bit, but now more than ever, I think the NBA is going to be like, we can profit off of this. Like, bringing them over isn't going to be a hassle for us, or isn't going to be dead weight. It's like, it's going to lift us up as well. I think that's what they need to do. You know,
women's sports are definitely on the rise. Right. And like, just to go back to the salary talk, like, yeah, man, it's also about the value that you bring. Right. And like, these talents have upped their value tenfold. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because of all the things outside of them with the NIL deals and shit, like, they bring value to, you know, they bring a lot of value to the organization that they're going to play for. So that means more salary. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, give them more value, buy into their stuff, go to the games, buy tickets, do what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? But on their own, even without that, now their value is still skyrocketing. So, and yeah, man, long-term effect.
I'm not going to lie, though. I did do a report, and this is a long time ago. I did a report on the soccer team, the women's soccer team. The women's soccer team. Oh, no. I did a report, but we also reported on that a while ago. But the women's American soccer team was doing a lot better than the men's.
Yeah,
they were doing a lot better than the men's soccer team, but they were still getting paid less. And it didn't make sense because they were making it to playoffs. They were having longer seasons, so they had more they had more games to pull revenue from.
Yep.
Yet they were still getting paid less. And the men's soccer team.
That's the sexism right there.
That's the inequality. But that kind of leaks into everything. So I understand why people are upset. But I think this class changes everything.
I think
this class is going to just blow it up. This is like a whole first 10 picks of Deion Sanders. That's what it reminds me of. Like, just, everybody is everywhere they go. The cameras is going to be on them all the time. And it's going to, I'm excited. Minnesota Lynx, what up? I need a jersey. I'm going to give me a Lisa Pili jersey ASAP. You know what I'm saying? It might be fake, but you know, that's all I could afford right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be awesome to see.
Yeah, let's stick with
pilot on the rise, son. Yeah,
let's stick to some Polynesian excellence. Max Holloway, the new BMF champ.
Jesus,
you know what I'm saying? Christ, did you fight? Dude. Did you see that? Did you watch that?
I did fight. Yeah, I fought on the prelims. Did you fight? yeah, I watched it, bro. It was the first one I caught. I think I fell asleep and then I woke up. I was like, oh shit, UFC 300. And then I'm glad that I caught it. So I saw it. What the fuck?
Yeah. I didn't watch it live because we was doing stuff, and then I tried to stay offline to watch it and to really, but I did see the Max stuff. So I watched that and yeah, he dominated that match.
Yeah. He pieced Gaethje up, bro. And Gaethje is no slouch. Man, that fucking heel kick in the first round to end it. Changed it right there.
And that was, I think that was a big deciding factor, because after that, Gaethje didn't stop. He didn't stop bleeding. No. You could tell his breathing was probably off. Yep. He kept messing with it.
And he's always had a nose problem.
So like a lot of people, and a lot of people were saying, oh, if he didn't get that kick, bro, that's part of the sport, bro.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
That's like saying, oh, if he didn't get punched 10 times at the end, he wouldn't have got knocked out. Like, it don't.
Yeah. It's in, you know? It was still in regulation, bro. Literally another last second hit, just like the finish. Mm-hmm. But you and Gaethje are deviated septum brothers.
Oh, yeah. I feel like they all should have deviated septum.
Yeah.
face every night.
Yeah, for real. Well, I guess he's been dealing with that his entire career.
And I will say this, Max Holloway was winning that match. There was no way that Gaethje won any of the first three rounds. I think he might have won round four. I forgot.
They said that he dropped him. I saw it live. It looked like he dropped him, but they didn't count it as a knockdown. I think it was like a slip. So looked like he might have gotten the fourth, but no.
Yeah, but regardless, Max was up, and for him to do that last 10 seconds where he like stand here and bang and put his chin out there and just, you know, that's real, because most 9 times out of 10 fighters who are winning a match, they running away the whole last round. They win four rounds. They running away. They coasting. They just want the win. But Max is like, nah, this is the BMF title. We finna do this. Bang. And so,
bro, moved up 10 pounds, bro. Yeah. He moved up a weight class to take this fight.
Yeah,
and Gaethje had hella to lose if he were to lose this fight. I think Gaethje might have been next in line for the next, either next in line or number three.
That's what he was saying. He said, you know, Gaethje had nothing to win and everything to lose and taking this fight. I appreciate you taking this fight. Man, Max Holloway, I don't understand how anyone could hate him. Like, he is so humble. Every time he goes out there, bro, he has nothing bad to say about the people he's fighting. He has nothing bad to say about anybody, you know? Yeah. He's just out there. He's doing his job, taking care of his family, and just showing love. And so, shout out to Max Holloway, man, the BMF champ. He's, you know, the Samoan champ, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Did you see the dude he called out? Ilia Topuria or something like that. Yeah, Topuria.
Topuria.
Something like that. It's one of those.
Tempura. Tempura chicken.
He called him out at the end of that fight, and that fool looks so scared in the in the crowd. He looks scared. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what's going on. But we had to throw that in there, man. Max Holloway, BMF champ, last second knockout. Justin Gaethje, you know, shut them all up. Michael Chandler, is his name Michael Chandler? He was in the crowd looking scared, looking all sad. Looking all sad. Shut up. You know? Shut your chill face. Out, bro.
Yeah. Relax, okay? Relax.
But yeah, bro. But yeah. I think that's right there. I gotta get to work.
Oh shoot. God bless it. Thank y'all again, man. Let us know. Y'all know what it is. Hit us up on the socials, patreon.com/podcast. Check out the network, you know what I'm saying? Way Back Wednesday, Pacifica Movie Starter Kit, and this little show of ours. I'm Aholo Marcus, Sefa M. Kofa.
Bye.
Get to work, get a job.
Oh shoot, hold on, I'll do this.
Yeah, get a job.